afternoon.
Hello.
And welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. Kind of, there we go.
Get your situation there.
I'm having trouble getting situated. I think I'm situated now.
Yeah, you're doing good.
So, my
name... You look fantastic, by the way.
No.
We've
never sat across the desk from each other.
Got a face for radio,
it's
right?
It's like an interrogation. If Phil starts crying, it's because I got the hot light.
Because
right
she
on
has
him.
Ways of making me talk.
Take your shoes off so I can get to your toes. Okay. That was a bad visual. That's why we're on radio.
Yeah.
So, my name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
Now that I've divulged all that information.
Yeah.
And our sponsor, so who's our sponsor?
Our sponsor's
Bill?
Team Power.
Do you know the sponsor?
Yep, Team Powers. They're our local Kubota tractor dealer, and I'll tell you what, they are in the mood to make some deals. They got a lot of inventory up there, and go in there and see them and make yourself a great deal on a tractor. They're also running their spring service special now, so if you haven't got
a
flyer...
What are you guys, like Hallmark?
Yeah.
How'd you already get to spring?
Oh,
it's
well,
January.
Yeah, spring is sprung.
Oh,
I mean, it's coming.
The grass
when was
the
last time
it
rained? Yeah. So if you haven't got a flyer in the mail, they've got some flyers going out. Give them a call and ask them about their special. And
so tell them that you got a flyer in the mail.
Tell them you heard it on the radio.
Ooh,
yeah. Tell them that, and they'll
better
give
a
you
flyer.
A discount on your spring service.
So
if you want to get a hold of them, their phone number is 226-9226. They're at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, just south of Phil's Propeller. And go see them up there in Shasta Lake. Or you can reach them on the web at readingtractors.com. But, they're ready to go to work for you. They're not backed up, so if you bring something in, they can work on it right away. So that's Team Power.
Nice.
Yeah.
We love them.
Yeah, they do a fantastic job.
We love them. There's some guy named Bill up there.
Yeah.
I heard he's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. He's
he look,
a, he's
I heard
nice
he looks
guy.
Like you and he sounds like you.
Well, he does.
He's almost like
he's
you.
My doppelganger. Smart Alec.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. So what are we talking about today?
Well, you know,
we're talking about it on the radio?
Uh-huh.
Did you try to read the writing on the wall?
Did you, Bill?
I did. I wrote it.
Voice inside you say, I've heard it all before. It's like deja vu all over again.
Yes! Because we've been here before.
It right. is like deja vu all over again because, oddly enough,
yeah.
we played an encore of Dr. Lyle Rapacki last week. And, you know, we have sort of an odd relationship with him. All these odd things happen whenever he's involved. And we're going to, of course, blame him for that.
Yeah. Because we do get a lot of feedback when we have him on the air.
We do.
Yeah.
Good feedback, though, actually.
Yeah, it is. Well, you didn't have to say
well,
that,
except for, yeah. Oh, yeah, we could have alluded that it's
yeah,
bad.
Yeah, we could have said, you know, we got a little work to do.
But
there,
we have 2 hours left, and if he hangs up, we're screwed. Can we say screwed on the air? Oh, my gosh. But, yes, this will be like deja vu because we did replay for you Barbarians at the Gate last week. And we were going to have him on again with Jim Stockstill this week, which actually would have worked out great, except Jim is sick. So Jim's not going to be here. So Lyle will have to do – he'll have to be a double talker. He'll have to talk through the whole show.
He can
show.
Do it. He's a professional.
I know. I already talked to him this morning. We actually double talked each other this morning.
Mm-hmm.
So darn it, we should have muted him. I can hear him laughing in the background. Oh, my gosh. So, lest we belittle our perennial guest here, Dr. Lyle Rapacki is actually a private sector intelligence, behavioral analysis, and threat assessment specialist, which is funny that he hangs out with us. He's probably evaluated us. We've probably been,
yeah.
We probably have like a big file or something. And since June of 2010, he's provided selected members of the Arizona legislature intelligence briefings on border security and threats to Arizona sovereignty. Except for now, he lives in Texas. So, now he's briefing some other people. And,
I think Arizona and Texas probably have the same kind of problems.
They're probably pals.
Yeah.
Yeah. Friends in borderness. So he's going to kind of update us on that. And just all his information, actually, and the previous shows we've done with him are on the website, which is wethepeopleradio.us. And all those archives are on there for you free of charge. We actually cut the commercials out. We're big fans of capitalism, but on the replays, we allow you to skip the capitalism and go right to the meat of the deal. And today I have a good cartoon on there for you. I got from our guest for next week, Bruce Moran. And it's Donald Trump is standing there speaking with, looks like a rabbi, and it's a big giant wall. And Trump says, "You should hear the wailing going on over my wall." You know, I think there are going to be ultimately a lot of good jokes about that sort of thing. But Lyle's going to update us on all that because that's what he is. I don't know. Is it fair to say, Lyle, you're mired in that? How deeply mired are you?
Yeah, I'm deeply mired. Well, hey, thanks you guys for letting me come on.
We just like to introduce you. That's our favorite part.
Jim Stockstill said he was sick. But he texted me just minutes ago and said that he never got the check, your check for him to come on the show. And I go, they pay you?
That $1.85? I thought you were sending it.
I wasn't supposed to say anything about that.
Jim.
So I need to share that I'm feeling a scratchy throat coming on right now. And, and then
We're calling the bank right now. That check's no good.
And then Redding's tractors. I want to thank Bill for giving me a little guest ride on the little three-wheel tractor. That was really fun, and I really think that the pole that I ran into should not have been there. That's not my fault.
It wasn't right.
It was in a bad place, Bill, and it surprised me as much as the tractor.
Thank goodness you were wearing your seatbelt on that little rider. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, and my little helmet, too.
That's right.
You know, it's too bad I can't get my brother to Photoshop the picture we have of you on the web, because, you know, I'm just thinking how much fun that would be. Darn it.
Oh, my gosh. You two are just too much.
For something.
And Bruce is on next week, Bruce Moran.
He sent me an email. That's provided he doesn't... ride the train between now and then. Okay, seriously, he says, here's his email to me this morning. He says, I was riding the Red Line. He lives in Chicago, right? He says, I was riding the Red Line CTA transit last night about 12:15 in the morning. Some guys had been moving through the CTA train cars, car to car, while the train was moving, openly selling drugs without any compunction. The drug dealers had spotters on the train, and their whole team worked in tandem. So much for the camera security on the train with the Chicago Police Department patrolling the station and police riding the moving train. It looked like cocaine, white substance in a very small plastic bag, money exchanging hands right in front of me along with the drugs. The drug dealer team consisted of older black men, six-footers, not teenagers or early mid-20s, with backpacks carrying drugs around 30 to 40 years old. So, you know, if you want to find out how it's done...
Yeah, ride the Red Line. You can get a little education
just
there.
Just go to Chicago and ride the Red Line. I'm like, well, that's got to make you feel safe.
It's just an extra service that the trains are doing. Sort of like
got a headache.
It's like a buffet.
Yeah, airline.
Aches, pains, headaches,
the airplane,
tired?
They would bring the cart out, remember? The airplane, and they'd go up and down the aisle and see if you wanted a little drink or this or that or cookies or whatever.
Cigars, cigarettes, Tipperellos.
Absolutely.
Jewelry that lights up? Oh, yeah. No, that's fair.
Light
come on,
jewelry.
It's capitalism. Come on.
That's right. Got to give him an A for capitalism.
Good Lord.
That's unbelievable. Jeez.
I wonder how many listeners we just lost on that segment.
I wonder how many people aren't going to ride the train today. I mean...
or take a plane. Yeah, not going to do that either.
That too. Well, now that they know that the service is going to be so bad, they're not handing out Tipperellas anymore. It's over.
Well, it's interesting on the Bruce's comment about the drugs, and Bruce and I were talking just the other afternoon, about 2 days ago, about this border. And one of the side notes, because Nancy Pelosi and Schumer don't think there's a crisis at all on the border, there is a crisis, if you will, because a lot of the drugs have been impaired. They haven't been able to come over as freely. And so there's a shortage of certain drugs being dispersed now throughout the United States, and drug dealers are having a hard time. And their customers are having a hard time. I'm not making this up.
Oh,
and so, yeah.
That's so
and so
sad.
There is a little crisis because, yeah, the flow, the networks have been disrupted. And that's not good.
No. That's it's going to drive the price up, I'll tell you that.
Absolutely.
It's going to make it hard.
So that's one of the side notes of this whole thing.
Again, it hits the little guy. You know what I'm saying?
You know, they're going to take us off the air on this show. I just have a feeling.
They just got back on the air. Don't take us off the air yet.
I'll go lock the door.
They had a little problem up in...
Breach!
That was just Bill. Man. All right.
We have to take a break.
No, but we can't take the break yet because I forgot to tell Ashley what song to play because I was busy screwing around.
Oh, nice.
This is not the show about nothing then, is it?
No, it's different.
Try not to make it about nothing, but sometimes it's a little hard getting started, you know?
Oh, here we go. I got one for you. I labeled them all with little alphabet letters, so she's on the other side of a window, so we're using a little whiteboard. Yeah.
I feel like Frasier.
We don't really have... Yeah, you kind of look like Frasier, actually. Yeah. It's kind of scary.
Yeah.
Well, here's a little...
I do have a dog named Eddie.
Here's a little ditty from 1942. We'll be right back.
That's what Chuck and Nancy are going to be singing to the president here pretty quick.
It's really kind of funny. That's what I was thinking when I saw
That was good, Bill. That was really
Yeah, it's coming. Get ready.
I was like...
That was really good.
You know, this is an aptly titled song. And for anybody who's listening to this at a different time, since often we replay, we wear out the welcome mat with Dr. Rebecky. We'd love to play his replays.
What the heck does that mean?
There's a lot of unpleasantness in the world, and you know there should be more fun. And so whenever he's on, it's more fun. But this originally is January the 13th of 2018. So
2019
or 2019?
Yeah, let's not go back.
Oh, sorry. Too far. Ooh, time travel.
Ooh, good thing I'm here.
I didn't even like last year. Why am I such a bitter clinger? So anyway, just so people realize, we're in the middle of the shutdown over the wall and all that jazz. So if you hear this at a different time and you're like, Chuck and Nancy who? Yeah. That Chuck and Nancy.
Yeah.
who have
We couldn't be so fortunate as to forget their names.
You might be able to forget Chuck and Nancy at some point in the future, but you know, currently we're still laughing at the memes that have been created from their angry little faces at the press conference.
The pitchfork and the broom or whatever.
The pitchfork and the torch people.
Yeah.
God, then they had one where they switched. Have you seen the one yet where they switched their faces? They put Chuck's scowling face on Nancy's head and Nancy's scowling face on Chuck's face. It's actually kind of frightening, but
there's a picture out there with both Chuck and Nancy with Soros's face on them. And that's really freaky, but it speaks a lot of truth. But
yeah, it does.
I'll tell you what, that angry moment they had, I think, will be a meme gift giving. Extravaganza for quite a while.
That was such a huge tactical error.
Until it's actually spring.
Yeah.
Maybe you could put that on your flyer from work.
Oh, yeah, that makes a point.
Maybe not.
Hmm.
All right, so now that you can have whatever you want, what do you want to talk about, Lyle?
Well, you know, how about 5 minutes of seriousness and then go back to... I know, we
All
can
right,
do
we'll,
it.
Do we'll, it. I think we can do it.
Do it.
Bill, start the clock.
12:22:39.
Thank you. And we'll do 5 minutes for Redding's tractor. That way they get some benefit out of this show.
This is like Hell Week.
I know.
If you played sports, you know, you got to do the wind sprints and all that stuff.
Let's, if you don't mind, how about
we don't.
Can Trump, President Trump, declare a national emergency on the wall? Because that's been a big topic.
And there's talking heads on both sides of that, you know. And I just
right.
You're
a talking
confused.
Head right now.
Well, that's true.
From this talking head's perspective, and that's just my perspective, and I went all the way through eighth grade, I mean, so I have some perspective.
With the same perspective?
Well, I mean, it took me two summer schools, but I did it. I got through eighth grade. Well, that's because Mrs. Schwartz never liked me. I don't want to get into this right
now. Yeah, let's not talk about that.
Thank you. Okay, I'm recovering. He has the authority to declare a national state of emergency. Here's what's really, and why can I say that? Since 1979, that was before both of you guys were born, but I remember it, the United States has been in a continuous state of emergency. I don't think most people know this, and this is one of the precepts, if you will, or predecessors that gives prima facie evidence and support for declaring a national state of emergency, because we've been under a national state of emergency continuously since 1979. Jimmy Carter declared that emergency to freeze Iranian funds, assets, if you will, that were seized during the U.S. Embassy in Tehran incident. And that national state of emergency has been renewed every year since 1979. Pause. Let that sink in.
I graduated from high school then. Think about that.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's 1979, ago. You guys, and then six presidents have gone ahead in various ways and declared their own emergencies on top of the 1979. 1996, Bill Clinton declared one after Cuba shot down two civilian airplanes right off of their coast. And then George Bush declared one on September 14th, 2001. Giving the president broad powers to mobilize the military after the attacks in New York. So we've had 28 national emergencies that have remained active since 1979.
Now, a national emergency specific to a particular cause?
Event or a cause, yes.
Okay.
And so to say that he doesn't have the authority is just more political posturing and theatrics. Mm-hmm. To say that this doesn't warrant one, again, that's more political posturing and theatrics, because what is literally happening on the border is not these poor little migrants coming up who want a better life, though there are some. But I'm not going to mess around with it and tell you something that's just not true. And Aaron and I talked about this earlier today. There are people coming in from 133 different countries. 133. How do I know this? Border Patrol, the day before President Trump was in Texas, and President Trump was in Texas on Tuesday. This is Sunday. He was here in Texas, down in McAllen, Texas, on Tuesday, studying the border, looking at the Rio Grande. The head of the Border Patrol in that area mentioned to him, we are in support of you and what you're doing because you will help us. Just the day before the president showed up, 41 countries, people from 41 countries were apprehended, not just Mexicans, not even just Hondurans, but from China, the Middle East, and in all points, Pakistan, Romania, I believe was one of them, Ecuador, Nicaragua. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And so what we have is a sieve that not only are Mexicans coming across who want a better life and then maybe go back to Mexico, which is also a violation of our sovereignty, but that would be one simpler problem to at least address. But we have people undocumented, we don't know who they are, from 133 countries around the world just moving in and getting across this border. A lot of them, or a fair amount, I should say, are what's called SIAs. That's a law enforcement intelligence term. SIAs, meaning special interest aliens. Special interest aliens, SIAs, are migrants from countries where terrorism is a main export. And SIAs are working their way and have been working their way up through the border, our southern border, for years. I just wrote an article because, as you guys know, I'm very privileged to write articles and get them posted in several locations. I just wrote an article talking about how terrorists have come across the border. Well, how do we know this? Well, in George Bush 43's presidency in southern Arizona, we found the handbook of a do-it-yourself tactical nuclear weapon that was left behind or lost, who knows, out in the desert. And part of that handbook, this is not classified anymore, part of the handbook also talks about a program that ISIS and other Middle Eastern terrorist groups wanted to launch in the United States called the Hiroshima Plan. I'm not making this up. This was part of the book, part of the handbook, and it scared the bee gees out of everybody in Department of Homeland Security, the White House, National Security, and all that. It was a very detailed handbook, very detailed planning on how they were going to follow up what happened on 9/11 with a tactical nuclear weapon. That's a smaller grade where it's not like Hiroshima. They use that term, but it's not like your picture of a Hiroshima. It's a smaller tactical nuclear weapon that you can launch, and it will take out several blocks, if you will, but won't go 50 miles. I'm trying to give you a word picture for everybody to listen who's listening in. Well, picture releasing a tactical nuclear weapon on Wall Street. If it only goes a couple of few blocks, and New York City blocks are big, but only goes let's say a square mile, but it's located in such a critical juncture as the economic center of Wall Street, don't you think that would have tremendous effect, adverse effect on the United States? I do.
Oh, it would put huge sections of one of our biggest cities out of commission pretty much forever.
Absolutely. For a while. And so this handbook was found in the desert. It was photocopied, taken into custody, and then sent all the way up. And it's very alarming that this was way back in about 2003, to the end of 2002, 2003, beginning of 2003, the end of 2002. It was very alarming, very, very concerning that was already coming across then. It hasn't gotten much better. For this head of the Border Patrol in the McAllen, Rio Grande area of Texas to tell the president that just the day before his arrival, They arrested 45 people, 41 people, I'm sorry, from different countries, not counting those coming across from Mexico that are illegal, but 41 additional countries that never make the news.
And
that is concerning.
And that really blows their narrative of there's no crisis. We'll take a break here. And I want to get right back to this because there was...
So no more goofing off?
No. Let's stay focused for Lyle.
We'll be right back with Dr. Lyle Rebecki. This is not the show about nothing. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
They want you all body and soul. Then it's just your body. Then they go. What shall we do about them?
Ideals I think are right, and I can stand beside the idea to stand and fight. I do believe there's a dream for everyone. This is our country.
Yeah, this is our country.
This is our country.
We need to make the our part like more bold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This has to be rules.
All right. So as not to derail, we're right back at it.
Okay.
What other creepy stuff did they find?
We've already talked about there's 28 national states of emergency still in effect. So Trump declaring one is not new. There's 28 of them since 1979. And this is something of course, the socialist Democrats don't want out, and this is something the media doesn't talk about, but there's 28 of them. They're still in effect, and they have been by six different presidents, both parties. Now, can he do this? Yes. Excuse me, guys. What's the checks and balances? Under the Congress Act, I'm sorry, under the Constitution, the Congress has the authority to overrule a declaration of emergency. It would require both chambers to overrule the president. So the idea would be today that the House of Representatives would quickly overrule it because it's led by socialist Democrats. The Senate, the idea would be that they would say no because it's still ruled by conservatives. Now, I hope we don't have to see that played out, but...
Well, because it's kind of scary, you know, when you think about it, you know, we wind up with the inmates running the asylum, and then we have a national emergency that's climate change, so everybody park your cars, we have a national, you know, we have a national emergency that's, you know, gender studies or whatever, all the public bathrooms are closed. I don't know, I mean... I could see where they could.
Well, where does it go?
Kind of when, go berserker
when
later.
The House says no to his emergency, and the Senate says yes.
Yeah, how does that work?
Can it be implemented at that point?
Yes. In fact, actually, the president can implement it right now, and then that would automatically, and he has 6 months that he can run a national state of emergency. Then the Congress gets involved to take a look at should that state of emergency continue on or should be remanded, at which point the Congress would, let's say, no, and then the Senate would say yes, then it stays in effect.
So I guess it gets down to how much wall can he build in 6 months. And, you know, something that
well, no, let me interrupt you because you're partially right. How much wall can he build in 6 months? But then when the House of Representatives gets involved and says, no, we don't think there should be a national state of emergency, so we're voting it down, but the Senate upholds it, then it still stays in effect. Both houses have to vote it down.
Okay, so somebody said, I heard on the news, which was probably my first mistake, that if he did declare it, that it could be stopped by the Ninth Circuit. Is that true?
Well, I'm not a lawyer, but I did sleep at a Holiday Inn a couple of weeks ago.
Just going to ask.
And they can go ahead and try to get an injunction, but that would be that really gets into people who've gone all the way through high school and even college.
Well, they did the same thing with the travel ban, if you remember that,
right?
Because they stopped it.
I mean, if he's declaring a national state of emergency and spells out the emergency, he has the constitutional right as the chief executive and as president of the United States to protect and defend this United States. That is one of his very chief goals. And so if he can make the case, which is really easy to make, we've already talked a little bit about it, that the United States is under a form of invasion, then I believe he would prevail easily.
Now, was the travel ban, was that a national emergency?
Yes, I think so. And I don't think they did a good enough job. I don't think the White House did a good enough job getting the information out to the people, much less the courts.
Mm-hmm.
This is me, you know, armchair quarterbacking. As much as Mr. Trump is tweeting, and I think that's so effective because he bypasses all the liberal arm of the Democrat Party, meaning the media,
mm-hmm.
He has gotten information directly to the people, something no other president's ever done unless they speak to the nation from the Oval or at the State of the Union. But here he's able to tweet people, and he's very candid about what's going on, and that has been a big plus. But I don't think he's gone far enough to explain to the citizens exactly what he is learning. And I think the presentation the other night from the Oval Office was a positive step forward to share with the people. You know, folks, all politics aside and all this campaigning aside, here's the problem to the United States of America, or at least one of the problems, and it's a very real problem with people coming in who tend to harm us. They do not intend to come in and become acculturated here and live the American lifestyle. They want whatever they can take and remain loyal to their country of origin. That's not how immigration has ever worked in the United States. We never ask people to give up their love for Ireland or Scotland or wherever they came from. We never did. In fact,
the Irish just wouldn't do it. So,
yeah, well, they wouldn't anyway. But that's a rich culture they're bringing with them. However, they brought that culture, and they married, if you will, the American dream, the American culture, the American principles and values and laws, and they became American citizens.
Yes.
Who happened to be Scottish or Irish.
Right. But they agreed to abide by our rules. I mean, that's
correct.
The basics.
And that's not what's taking place here. And when you interview these people, they'll tell you that very boldly. I can't discuss this in great detail, and I apologize. I don't mean to be mysterious and weird about this.
Well, that's why we have you on.
I know. Well, I've been fortunate over the last couple of months to run air surveillance on these caravans. I have a professional former military air surveillance specialist who also works for does contract work for alphabet agencies, and he has offered to me to run air surveillance, and we've been doing that for the last couple of months. And when I mean air surveillance, we've done a lot of surveillance on these caravans. We were the ones. My reports were the ones that first found these caravans. We found that there was three of them and then even a fourth one, and the fourth one was teamed up with the third one and merged, and where they were staying, they had food trucks, they had porta-potties, all this information that started to come out. We were very, very blessed, very humbled to be among the first, if not the first, to report on that. And so I've been running air surveillance for a couple of months. Conversely, on the ground, I've been able to have some people embedded in these caravans. And what's happened is we've been able to get tremendous amount of information, which shows a full, totally different picture. Now, your guest next week, Bruce Moran, he knows this because we've been talking about this for a good couple months and exchanging intel, because some of our intel, his company, his group, and mine, have gone all the way up to the different branches of government. And so we've had to be able to validate everything we've said and document it to the nth degree. And we've done that, and that's why you're hearing words like invaders, caravans, things of that nature, because I was the one that first started using those in my reports. I say all that as a preface that one of the things we learned is that about 80% of these people coming in were 16 to 35 years of age. Bruce and a couple of other groups made it 16 to 40. I stuck with 35. They were military age. They were very hardened type males. They were not the family oriented type people. And they were extremely hostile by nature, psychologically, emotionally, and they created problems in their own caravans, much less what they intended to do when they came to America. Secondly, the families that everybody wants to talk about, and there are kids involved, and they are pawns, and it's a disgrace. It's a human catastrophe that's taking place. But a lot of these kids don't belong to these people. They were given to these people in the caravans to bring up here to get into America, because they knew that Americans are very soft-hearted, and we should be for kids. And yet their moms and dads are still back in wherever, Honduras, Nicaragua, wherever. The idea is that they're anchor babies. And once they get in and they're taken care of and they're on the rosters here, then others in the family can start coming in. By Mr. Trump learning all of these details and much, much more, he then put a block, if you will, up against the wall, against the border, before we could even build that wall. There are parts of the border that have walls, but I'm going to tell you, I've gone to the border many times, and both in Texas and Arizona, and there are miles. There's no border. There's a single strand, maybe a dual strand barbed wire. That's it. And so being able to come across the border is a joke. You just walk over.
That's not a problem. Let's stop right there.
What about all the, all the people playing pinochle and shuffleboard right on the other side of the border at the trailer parks and all that?
Yeah, there's definitely areas that you can and can't cross. I mean, Jim Acosta made that very clear the other day with his visit down to the border and showed us all that that wall was not even necessary. But let's go back to that right after the break, because one of the reports I heard was that these caravans, in some instances, are just a distraction for the
folks
that are still...
Feels like the fun killer. He's going to keep us on track. We'll be right back. Heard it from Phil Collins first.
Yeah.
All right, fun killer.
Okay.
Get us lined up.
Yeah, so we were talking about the caravans and so forth. I heard the other day that one of the tactics they're using now is a distraction, and maybe they've been doing this for a long time, but now the media is catching on. They're sending folks across under the eyes of immigration
It's like Red Rover.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
send five kids into one
and
spot.
And then they run over there and grab them, and then another group is
they run over and
half
hit
a mile
spot.
Away. They go over, and then they just keep going back and forth and back and forth until one of them makes it. Is that what's going on with these caravans? Because I heard there's another caravan on its way. Have you heard anything about that?
There is preliminary I'm trying to be careful here. There's preliminary information that appears to be vetted, at least initially, to suggest that another caravan of 15,000 is inbound. We are trying to locate that caravan. We have some ideas as the routes. And partly because we've been studying for the last couple of months the routes that these caravans have taken. And so initially, we're going to go back to those routes. Now, my pilot was shot down, literally. He was shot down over the border between Texas and Mexico. I'm not going to get into specifics. He was hospitalized and had surgeries. He is a former Army Ranger, a specialist in long-range patrols, surveillance, all of that through the military, came out, got into law enforcement, and did the same thing. He has quite a background, quite a history in formalized surveillance and intelligence gathering. Him being shot down really, as he and I joke, put a crimp in things, because he had to go get duct tape and cleaned out for the bullet wounds, and it laid him up for about 10 days. Then he went back and began flying. He got his plane fixed. He has about 7 planes in his company, and he got his plane fixed, and he's back in the air. And traveling with law enforcement officials from Border Patrol, Department of Justice, et cetera, et cetera. They went to Tijuana, which is right across from San Diego, where the bulk of the first caravan went. And they began to do recon over there, and they landed, and they went on ground to get interviews and a number of other materials. And he brought with him a couple of his other pilots because they also flew over, took photos, and did a number of things so we all would have the benefit of this, their information. They all picked up very, very serious and deadly, because one of the pilots died, from the contact with these people. They helped handcuff them. They helped sort them. And one of the stories that's not being told by anyone is that the diseases that are coming this way are horrific. I sent you all, and I believe Erin and I talked about this, and she posted it. It's not classified anymore. I sent you all a report. It's fairly specific that I said you could post, you could do what you want, and people could read it. It's a briefing that I gave with a colleague in a closed-door setting a couple of years ago in the Arizona legislature. And at that time, we talked about this very situation because there were already beginning to show up in multiple states and cities serious health problems, tuberculosis, scabies, skin diseases, bacterial infections that antibiotics were not working on. And medical community in America here was petrified at some of the other things that were coming across from illegals. We've not treated. We don't have any treatment plans for them. There was tuberculosis, various forms of tuberculosis that were non-resistant. I'm sorry, they were resistant to antibiotic treatments and other forms of protocol.
Very contagious, by the way.
Highly contagious, and we're not set up for that. The medical hospitals are just not set up for that. And it's not really fault finding. It's just we don't have those problems here in America. We've eradicated, and if something does pop up, it's manageable. Not under the conditions of these people coming in who have never ever seen doctors and live in areas where there is no such thing as health care. And they have developed some immunities themselves to these bugs because they've killed off their own people through these bugs, and those that have survived, and I'm being coarse on purpose, because I can document all this, the people that survive are the ones that have built up some immunities, and now they come up this way. We're sitting ducks up here because we have no immunities for this stuff, much less treatment.
And if they come across with those diseases and we pick them up, we're more or less obligated to treat them at that point, aren't we?
Well, Bill, you're right, because not only are we obligated to treat them, but now there's a cost that is just immeasurable. We've got people in hospitals already, these kids, that are sicker than sick, and we're taking care of them. But that doesn't make the media either. Pelosi, Schumer, and the rest of these socialists, they don't talk about that. But we are treating them. America is taking care of these kids, doing the best they can, and then intends to send them back, as I understand. But I'm not a policymaker, so that's outside my realm. But from what I understand, we intend to send them back instead of having them as anchor babies. But the fact is we're spending millions of dollars that are not being reported, and there's multiple millions, I'm being redundant there because millions is plural, that we still would have to lay out if these people work their way into America here. So what I've argued with very high ups is you need to seal this border. You can work out this wall problem and all this other stuff politically. That's fine. I'm not a policy monk. We've got a national security problem, not only with terrorists and cartel people coming in, but we've got a medical emergency on the border that no one wants to talk about, because once you get into it and really start to look at it, it will freak you out. The report I sent you all, and if you don't have it, I'll send it. Again, it's not classified. It was a couple of years ago.
Send it to me and I'll post it.
Okay, and your readers can read it on their own. I mean, what I did is I sent it back out, Erin, to a number of platforms and said, you know, to heck with it. You all need to read this stuff. And since then, I've noticed several platforms have now begun to carry, not my report, but variations of it, and they've done some additional investigations. And so now, and just in the last week, maybe 10 days, you'll notice a little bit more communication going out publicly about the medical condition on the border. And that's something that hasn't been put out for 2 months since all of this began.
Lyle, on the health issues, is this something that's unique to the Southern Crossing, or in other words, did they have this issue when they let all the folks into Germany and the Syrian refugees? I mean, was there a big health issue with them like there is with what's happening on our southern border?
Wow. That is a great, great question. Thanks for bringing it up, Bill.
Because
simultaneously with what's happening on the southern border to the United States, it's happening in Europe. Caravans were released about the same time, and we reported on this. Multiple thousands were making their, Muslim countries were working their way into all the European countries simultaneously to what was happening on our southern border. None of that's been reported. It's all been focused on America and how cruel we are, how mean we are, et cetera, et cetera. Whereas over in Europe, they're just devastated by what has come in and still coming in. That is why you're beginning to see, again, conventional media is not reporting this, why you're beginning to see and hear about the revolts in France by the citizenry, the Yellow Jackets. The citizens of France have finally had it. What started it was Macron was the president of France was going to raise taxes, a gas tax. It was nominal, 5 cents, 10 cents, whatever. But the whole idea was to raise taxes on top of taxes on top of taxes on top of tax. That's what socialists do.
Sounds like California.
Pretty much same mind control there. It's all communist, all socialist, Marxist. And that's what they do. They raise taxes on everybody till no one has anything except the elite. And so he was going to do this through a gas tax. Well, it was all a sham. What he was doing was raising funds through a gas tax to help pay for the social benefits to all the migrants that came in that they did not have the funds to pay for. In other words, food tickets, housing, medical, all of the social amenities that the country of France could not afford. And so let's go back and tax the citizenry and then take those funds and send it to these poor migrants that have now come into our country. Well, the citizens of France learned this firsthand, and they began to revolt. And that revolt's still taking place. And the same thing is happening now in Sweden and other countries, where the citizens, just the average guy on the street has said, enough. Look at how my city, my neighborhood, has completely changed into an Islamic something that I don't even recognize. And they have no interest in becoming French citizens or American citizens or German. They intend to subdue France, Germany, England, America, wherever. To take a look at Detroit, Michigan, and Upper Michigan. You would not recognize it. You would not recognize it.
I have a first-hand story of illegal here, but we got to go. We got a little 5-minute news break. We'll be back with Dr. Lyle Rebecca. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. You're on KCNR 1460 AM.